over there by Sherry, get a microphone going. Sophie, get up. Girls, get up because you're going to be praying. Cortland, Kayla, too. Go ahead. No, I want you to tell me what you...
Bill's got a bad shoulder, and I'm just going to stand...
Who's got a bad shoulder?
Bill, he's miserable today. He came home, he's in a lot of pain.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Kayla, come right over here. I'm going to have Kayla. All of you just join hands, lay hands on Sherry. We're praying for Bill, and just pray. You heard that, Kayla.
God, we thank you for Bill, Lord, and we thank you for the healing that you've already paid for. Lord, we just claim that healing right now, Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord, that every part of him be made whole. God, that shoulder would come into alignment and act the way that you designed it to act. And Lord, we just ask for him to be pain-free in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Tell him we love him. Who else? Who needs prayer tonight? You need prayer tonight? Come on, girls. Help me. What do you need prayer for?
Well, my dog is—he has like dogs around him, and well, my grandpa came over and he put some medicine on him. And
he's sick.
Yeah.
Your dog's sick?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jack.
Y'all just lay hands on this little fella. Father, we lift Jack up to you this evening. We just lift him up to you, Lord, and we just ask that you touch him and heal him. But this little boy is troubled over his dog, and he was bold enough to bring his name up in this service. Jack, in Jesus' name, you be healed now. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you for letting us pray. Stay with me, girls. Who else needs prayer here? Yeah, Dale took a fall. Would you stand up just for a moment and put somebody mic her? And we'll hear the whole story the right way.
She just took a fall yesterday at home, and she's fractured her pelvis. And so she's going to be in the hospital for at least a little over a week. And she was in a lot of pain. Pastor called her. But I would like for you to pray for her.
Tony, come up here. I want you to pray for her. This is one of our spirit-filled nurses. Met her many years ago. She came into a service and sat down. We were on the square, and she said, "Hi, my name is Tony, and you're my new pastor." It was beautiful. Tony, do you know Dale?
I don't.
She's a woman, you know, kind of about our age maybe, and she took a fall, pelvic problems. So just.
Mm-hmm. I'll see her this weekend. Father, I just thank you for your precious daughter, Dale. I thank you, Lord, for watching over her. I know, Father, that this pelvic fracture can be so very painful. And, Father, I just thank you for relieving her pain, Lord, for, first of all, by your power, Father, and by giving nurses and doctors wisdom, Lord, to know when she needs something for pain, because sometimes older people don't like to ask for pain medicine. Lord, I just thank you that she heals quickly, that her bones knit together supernaturally quickly, and you keep her in your loving hand, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stay with me, girls. Would one of you girls stand up just for one more moment? I would really love for us to pray for Ernie. Ernie's gone away on a trip, and he's had some kind of something where... A couple times it happened, he didn't know where he was.
Or who he was.
Or who he was.
Yeah.
Would one of you girls, one of you three here, would you pray? You don't have to be elaborate. It's you. You've got it, girls. Go ahead.
Dearly Father, please bless Brother Ernie while he's on this trip to Oklahoma. Please lead him through with his travels so we don't forget or anything, so he can come home safe without a scar, without a memory lost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Stay with me, girls. Thanks for letting us pray for him. Who else here needs prayer tonight? God bless. Come on out here, young fella, where we can all get around you. And just tell us what we could pray for.
Just pray for direction.
Okay. Now, you know that's a key prayer. That is a key prayer in life. Every one of you. I think we prayed direction for you last week. Direction is a key prayer. It's something that we sure need. Direction. Would one of you two, would you pray? Just lay hands and just, well, y'all lay hands on us.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Bev, and just lead him in the right path, Lord, and just bless him everywhere he goes. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Now, girls, stay with me. Stay on the front row, because there's another person I want to pray for when he comes back out here. Anybody else need prayer? We have time. Yes, y'all go over by Millie, please, and just see what she says she wants.
A new back.
We just found out today some of the damage it just blew my mind how much damage is there. How many? Seven of them vertebrae? Seven of those?
Six bulging and one herniated.
Six bulging discs and one herniated disc. And all three of you girls prayed for somebody. Caleb, if you would pray again. Amen, amen, amen. Come with me, girls. And if you would please just sit up here. Who else needs prayer? Does anybody else need prayer? If you would just sit together just for a moment. And I'm going to start a word tonight. And it's so good to be here. And Jill, I'd like you to come up here for just a moment. Girls, come up here also. And Frank, if you would stand up. You know, I ask all the time who wants about prayer and who can we pray for. And I never, hardly ever have anybody. But Jill, this is what I'd like. I'd like you to take that. You can take that green microphone right there. And I'd like you to pray for Frank, my son-in-law. Just love him. And girls, you just get around him and lay hands on him, please. Hold on just a minute. They switched from, I know they're on, they got that green. Yeah, they had that green. I thought
okay,
they.
Here we go.
Just pray for Frank, whatever's on your
yes,
heart.
Yes, okay. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for Frank, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you brought him here to us, Father God. Father, he is such a blessing. Father, he's always there to serve. And Lord, I know he does this to serve you. And he wants to honor you and he wants to give you glory and not for himself. But Lord, I just thank you that you keep him, Father, that he will not be discouraged in well-doing, that he will continue to enjoy and love to be serving. Father, I pray right now for him that you would give him wisdom, that, Lord, I pray for his marriage. Father, I pray that you, Lord, will give him the wisdom that he needs for his marriage, for his new family, and for his regular family. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you and thank you that you keep him in perfect health. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Before we move, Frank, yeah. I just have a verse for you from Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know, see, we don't wonder about it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the calling according to his purpose. All things going to work together for good. I believe that with all my heart. Thank you. for letting us pray with you. And girls, just if you would, sit together wherever you sit. Wherever you sit, sit together. Now, we're not in a hurry. What I mean is, if we spent the next 30 minutes just praying for people that needed prayer, don't you know how important you are? If you have something, if anybody else, just wave at me. Just don't throw anything at me. I don't think I could get out of the way quick enough. Yes, Jill. Get ready, girls. Come up here. I would like... You're going to Reno,
and then Oregon first,
then Reno, and then you're coming, and then you and that little birthday girl are going to Guatemala.
Yes.
Okay, just come over here where we can get all these girls around you here, and Paul, just come up here too. Man, I wish I looked as young as Paul. All right, I'm going to stand in. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe God will hear. I believe God cares. I believe if it's on your heart, everybody that's here, if it's on your heart, God wants to do something about it. If it's on your heart enough to just say, I want some prayer. So we're going to do that right now. Please stretch your hand. And if you feel like you have something to add to what we're about to pray for this family, they're fixing to go all over. Okay. All right. Are we ready? Father, I thank you for this beautiful family that you've given us here at Paris Christian Center. They're about to go out on a trip and cover hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. And then Cortland and Jill are going to Guatemala to serve you there. And we just look for traveling mercies, and we look for opportunities to share the gospel and to share their faith and their testimony. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray the Holy Ghost down, that they would be led, and they would, their angels would keep them from any kind of a mishap,
yes,
Lord God, and that all would be well, and everyone said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else that wants prayer?
Are y'all driving or flying?
Oh, yeah, they're driving.
Give them patience then if they're driving all the way to Oregon.
Oh, my gosh. That is a serious drive, everybody.
More than just patience,
oh, man. Well, girls, just sit together.
Shield of protection.
Girls, I want you to sit together over here. She's just getting her Bible. And I'm going to start this word unless somebody else needs prayer. And I want to share a thought tonight with you, a simple thought. And it's not new, it's just timely. See, something doesn't have to be brand new. I mean, you know, fresh manna, it's still manna. And it isn't anything maybe that some of you haven't heard, but you're going to hear it tonight. For some reason, God has this. It's been on my heart for a while, for about 2-3 weeks now. And I'm going to share a thought on when I'm wrong, being able to say I'm wrong. I'm telling you, one of the things in life that I have seen that people stress and they just bow up at just admitting that they're wrong. And yet that is the key to going on with God. And Paul said he was wrong. And I'm just going to go here and read just a few. Before I go into my text, I'm going to read just a few people. Balaam. Does anybody know who Balaam was in the 22nd chapter of the book of Numbers? Yeah. One time the Lord told me, Angelo, you're just like Balaam's donkey. I made Balaam's donkey talk, and I'm going to make you talk. And don't ever think it's you, it's me. I've got things that I want to say to people through you. And in Numbers 22 and 34, Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I've sinned. See, he was whooping up on that donkey. And finally that donkey started talking, why are you whooping up on me? And he didn't have a good enough reason. And an angel was going to kill him right then and there. I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. There was an angel standing there with a drawn sword. Now that donkey saw that. And that donkey stilled up. I've had trail mules and horses, and sometimes something will make them just still up, and they don't want it. There's something that you can't see that they can see, that you can't smell that they can smell, and they do that. I've sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. I'll do this over again, is what he's saying. Here's another one in Joshua 7:20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, I indeed have sinned against the Lord, God of Israel, and thus have I done. Now, not only with the Lord, but with other people, when you just can't, you don't know the whole thing. It wasn't so bad what I did or did not do. No, it was. Sometimes, when you're wrong, if you think about it, in my life, I haven't seen a lot of people that would get up and say, I was wrong. And I find that there's power in that, because I purposed in my heart that I would say I was wrong even many times when I wasn't wrong, just to let the devil, you're not going to do that to me. I've said, I'm wrong. I did that. Would you forgive me? And boy, when you say those words in that sequence, it means a lot. I got so many I could read here. Let's read a little bit more. Here's David. And David said unto Nathan the prophet, see, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, see, when he admitted what he did, well, what did he do? That's not our subject tonight. You need to go find out what David did. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You're not going to die over this. Because what David did, some men died over. Okay? But you know what? It was just simply not trying to justify wrongs or being smug. See, that there's no room for that in Christianity. We have to be able to, say, I was wrong. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. I'm wrong. And that brings the Holy Spirit down. And I just want to say another thing while we're preaching this here. Last week, our dear brother Jeremiah, he had two subjects he asked me about, and I preached on both of them in that one message. Everybody liked it. If you've got something you'd like to hear me share on, just ask me. Ask me, get me by myself, or holler it out right now. It don't matter to me, and we'll teach on it. I'll teach on it next week. My thought is, there's no excuses when you're wrong to not say I was wrong. And that's the hardest thing I found. I don't know about in your life. I'll bet you if it's in my life, it's in your life. You just notice people don't, they just don't want to confess that when they're wrong. Pardon? It's a lost art. Yeah. And I'm not going to go into all the things that I've talked about in the last few years about that. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Confessing their sins. Here's Peter. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You know what? Jesus didn't depart from him. He brought him in closer to him. One of the reasons he did that is because he knew who he was. You know what? Man, as believers, if we want to succeed, we want to do better. We need to be able to say when we're wrong. And if somebody really thinks we're wrong, even if we're not, sometimes, not all the times, it's best to just say, look, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. When you say I was wrong, and then you say I'm sorry, and then you say, would you forgive me? Those three sentences together bring the Spirit of God right there. It touches people's hearts. And that's what we want to do. Oh, I want to testify and I want to do this. Well, this is one of the ways that you can do it. Is just, you know what? If something comes up, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. I did wrong. That's a powerful, powerful initiative to have in your life that you can do that. And then here's the prodigal in Luke chapter 15. And this is what he said. I will arise and go to my father. And when I see him, I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me a servant in your house. That is an attitude of a winner, of a champion. Now, I'm going to go to my verses. I've only got three. If we could put Psalm 32, verses 3 through 6 there. Do we have the Living Bible Translation, TLB? I think we do, but I wasn't sure. So if we do, I don't really want the NLT. I'd like the TLB if we've got it. It's really good. Do we have that? Maybe not. It's okay. All right. Well, here's David speaking. And this is what he said. And this is what it's all about. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. In fact, put this up in the New Living Translation, because a lot of these words, it's even difficult for me to explain them. We'll put that up in the NLT. And this is what it says. When I refuse to confess my sin. Now, what does this have to do with communion? Communion is all about confessing faults and sin. If you've got them, do you have them every week? I don't think so. I don't have them every week, but there's some weeks I have them. Well, which week is which? I don't tell. It's a private thing. That's why I ask you to make an altar. You privately talk with God. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. See, you know what? I'm from the generation. Why don't we just be real? Why don't we just freaking be real? Does that make sense to anybody? You know, why all this cover up and arrogance and smugness and nobody's going to tell me what to do and I'll leave and do that? Why don't we just freaking be real and get somewhere in life? That's what I say. I want you to know that. I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. See, what are you saying tonight? We're about to get on our knees. We're about to make an altar. We're about to take communion. The word says when you take communion, examine yourself first, then take communion. The word says about communion, you know, if you don't take communion right, for this reason, people are mostly they fail. Some of them get diseases on them. Some of them die young. Why not just be real? I'm not asking you to be real with me. I'm asking you to be real with God. No, but I'm not asking you to come up here and get a microphone. And boy, we did that one time out of James chapter 5 when you was about this big. Confess your fault service. Was you there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. I heard things. I tried to stop people. Please don't tell anything else. Man, we had all kinds of things. And I didn't find it profitable. It just made me, I got dizzy. I remember that. But let me finish the reading of this here. I tried to hide my guilt, and I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. You know what? When I take communion right, I don't, all my guilt is gone. If I have something to confess to the Lord, I do it. Because if I can't do it with the, if you can't be honest with the Lord, who can you be honest with? If you can't be honest with the Lord, if you can't be honest with God, for goodness sakes, who can you be honest with? I'm just talking about you and him together. Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, Matthew 11:28. And I will give you rest. Take your, my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I'm meek and lowly, and I'm easy to approach. I won't put you down for it. And that's how we get ahead in life. We have to, that cross has to have the full effect. And part of that effect is to just, for God's sake, when you're wrong, stop being silent about it. It won't help. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you. He's talking to God. While there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. In fact, in the I'm going to go there. I wasn't going to go there, but I think it fits in so well. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want you to see this. I think it will help us. First Corinthians 11:26. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do demonstrate the Lord's death until he returns, until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, verse 28, and so then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that drinketh, eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and some have fallen asleep. For if we would judge ourselves, now hear me, church, if we would judge ourselves, if we would just judge ourselves, you know the Bible says we're going to judge angels? If we would judge ourselves, then we would not be judged. If we would judge ourselves. That's what the Bible says about communion. We're about to take communion. But when we are judged, we are chastened or corrected by the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. For this, I correct everybody that I love. I chastise them and scourge them. See, but he doesn't do that with people that are not saved. They die, their body goes to the dust, and the spirit goes back to the one that gave it. That's God. I'm asking you for something deep tonight. I'm asking you to be honest with you and God. I don't want to hear it myself. I don't want you to tell God. And if there's nothing there, take it with a wonderful heart. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry for one another. Tarry, wait on one another, okay? Okay, now if we could go, let's go to Proverbs 28:13 in the King James Version. Proverbs 28:13. Now, this is a serious verse. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do this before God. It doesn't matter what you do before men, really, compared to God. If we mess up before God, we have a serious issue. A serious issue. If you can't be honest with God, who can you be honest with? We have to. He loves us. He that covers his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsaketh sin, on them he shall have mercy. See, the one thing that's so hard to do, just to be able to say, we're about to be at the altar. Father, help me, because I've examined my heart, and I'm wrong. And then tell him what it is. Tell him where nobody else can hear it but you and God. And then say, please forgive me. Forgive me, Father. Can I tell you something? The promise is there. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Lamentations chapter 3. His mercies never, never come to an end. Now, Peter said, how many times do we have to forgive somebody? About seven? And the Lord said, no, Peter, seven times 70, which means infinitely. Whenever somebody says to you, look, I'm sorry, we must forgive them. We must. And like it says in Matthew 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you won't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. It doesn't say he can't. It says he won't. That's correction. I want you to see this. I want you to see this in my heart. I'm not asking for any open displays or this would be awful. No, I just want you to take communion in a way that will do you some good. By the way, with my wallet on the altar, my gosh. Oh, when the blessings come in, they come in. So, he that covers his sin will not prosper. He that covers his sin, he that won't talk about it to the Lord, see, he will not prosper. You cannot prosper doing that. Why do we have to talk about sin? Because we sin. We sin sometimes. What is sin? Everybody has their own version. That's between you and God. I'm not trying to name things off or do this or do that. I just want you to take communion and get something out of it. Get some power out of it. Get something great out of it. Anybody yet with your wallet this time or your purse? Already something's happened by the show of hands anywhere? Anybody? Okay. Same here. I'm not kidding you. All right. Now, the last place I'm going to go tonight is 1 John 1 and 9, one of my favorite verses. And this is what it says. You know, if there's no such thing as sin, now society says nothing's sin anymore. And babies aren't babies. I heard a very famous person on TV call a baby a fetus today. No, they're babies. They're babies. And to abort them is murder, okay? And you know what the final truth on that is? If you've ever had an abortion, there's forgiveness. That's part of it. I've talked to people that have had one and they said, God forgave me, washed my slate clean. I'm not gonna abort this baby. I'm gonna have this baby. I'm gonna raise this baby. I'm gonna do the right thing. You know when the church becomes weak? When we don't have the nerve to tell you the truth about stuff. Now we should do it in the right way. We should do it in the right spirit. Can you feel my spirit tonight? I'm not trying to put anything bad on anybody. I'm trying to say, for God's sake, if we're going to come here and have 45 minutes an hour, let's get something out of it. And I guarantee you, if you can just be honest with God, he will help you so much, so much, because he loves you. Taste of the Lord and see that it's good. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. They're new every day. They're going to be new right now. Whatever you have to say to the Lord, you might be, your conscience, if your conscience is clear, that's clear enough for God. See, if there's something that you need to be concerned about, you know, isn't it funny? God has a way of letting you know. Am I right? He has a way of letting us know. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. That means he's faithful. And because of that, in the realm of the devil and everything, he is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive you if you'll confess with that heart. And the accuser of the brethren that wants you dead, the devil, he is faithful and he has a legal right in the spirit world to forgive you. Not only to forgive you, by the way, confession produces change. For it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession brings a cleansing, a cleansing. You know what that cleansing means? He'll wash that sin right out of you, or you won't want to do it anymore. I dare you to try that on any sin, your worst sin. I dare you to try that. That's the way the gospel really works. And I love you so much. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share with you tonight. And the altars are open.